إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to complete the review of the topic, factors for rectifying society, by al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. In brief, yesterday, from what we read, the Shaykh focused mainly and most importantly upon the most important element that can be utilized or that should be or must be utilized in the rectification or the reformation of the society. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of points, from amongst them that these elements or these factors are the necessary elements for reformation and rectification of any society, whether it is Islamic society or non-Islamic society. And he focused upon the most important element for reformation, and that is the establishment of Tawheed and warning against shirk. This is the foundation of the matter, along with the acknowledgement and recognition of the prophethood and messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that what he brought, which is contained in the pure sunnah, that this, along with the establishment of tawheed, these are the two fundamental principles upon which reformation or rectification of society is based. And whoever loses these two principles, or even one of them, then definitely they will not be successful in the reformation of the society. Rather, they will be losers and they will be destroyed. So this is the essence of what the Shaykh said. That is, that the most important element for reformation of society, it is the establishment of Tawheed. And this cannot be emphasized enough. Even though, as I mentioned yesterday, this is something that is upon the tongues of the people, especially the people of Tawheed, the people of Sunnah. But the implementation of this principle is what is necessary, not just saying it on our tongue. Rather, implementing it in our lives, calling to it, explaining it, clarifying it, establishing it in reality. The establishment of Tawheed and the removal of shirk from the Muslim society or from any society. And along with this, the establishment of the Sunnah, which protects us from falling into innovation. The Shaykh, he began this presentation by making a lengthy supplication in which he prayed for the Muslims in general, and specifically the students at the university where he was presenting this topic, the staff, those who were responsible for running the university, and so on. He made a lengthy supplication, and in the end of the speech also he made a lengthy supplication that there is no doubt is a lesson for us, and he is a model for us in emphasizing the importance of dua and making sure that our dua is inclusive of the Muslims, all of them. So, the Shaykh, he ended, we stopped yesterday with the mention of the ayah from the Quran, from Surah An-Nur, 24th surah, 55th ayat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those who establish Tawheed, and who worship Him alone and do not associate anything with them, He promised them that He will make them authorities in the earth, and that He will establish their deen for them, and that He will remove them from the condition of fear, replacing it with safety. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that Allah has promised those who believe from amongst you and those who do good deeds. Yani those who believe, real iman, which requires that it is manifested in actions, righteous actions. Those who believe from amongst you and who do good deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that He will make them to succeed the rulers in the earth, make them rulers after the previous rulers, just like He made the people before them rulers, that you will rule in the earth. Those who believe and do good deeds, they will be rulers in the earth. And then He said, وَلَا يُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي تَرْضَى لَهُمْ, that He will establish their deen, which He is pleased with, that He has chosen for them. He will establish their deen in the earth, yani put them in a position where they can implement fully their deen in the earth. وَلَا يُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا, and He will exchange, after the condition of fear, He will exchange it with the condition of safety and security. يَعْبُدُونَنِي وَلَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا, and this is with the condition that they worship Me alone and do not associate anything with Me. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this ayah by saying, as long as they, yani with the condition that they worship Me alone and do not associate anything along with Me. So this is the condition for all of these matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who believe and do good deeds, with the condition that they establish Tawheed and they eliminate Shirk. This is His promise to those who are steadfast in faith, guidance, and righteous good deeds. He will grant them succession to the rulers in their land, and He will grant them power to practice their religion, and He will keep them safe and secure from the evil of their enemies and their plots, and He will make them victorious. After this, the Shaykh says, Rahimahullah, وَمِن تَحْقِيقْ شَهَادَةً أن محمدا رسول الله تعظيم سنته, يعني from the establishment or the realization or the achievement of the testimony that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah, in order to realize this and to establish this, one must exalt and glorify his sunnah. يعني we must see the sunnah as being of a very high status, of the highest status, and we must look to it as something that is of the utmost importance. In order to realize the testimony of Muhammad Rasulullah, we must exalt the Sunnah. The Sunnah must be in the highest place in our hearts and in our minds. وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهَا وَالتَّنْفِيذ مَقَاصِدِهَا وَالتَّحْذِيرُ مِنْ خِلَافِهَا وَالتَّفْسِيرُ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ بِهَا فِيمَا قَدْ يَخْفَى مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. يعني the first part of the Shahadatain is what the Shaykh emphasized in the first part of this presentation, that is the establishment of Tawheed. And along with that is the second part of the Shahadatain, that is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. And here he goes back to this point, yani that in order to realize this testimony of Muhammad Rasulullah, we must have the utmost respect for the Sunnah, and we must call to it, and we must implement its objectives, yani the objectives of the Sunnah. The Sunnah has been given to us for what purpose, with what objective? We must implement its objectives, and we must warn the people against opposing it or being in contradiction to the Sunnah. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed a certain way. He performed the salat a certain way. So we must warn the people from praying in some different way. Rather, we must encourage the people to establish the sunnah, and we must warn the people against praying in a way contrary to the sunnah. Like we see many other people today praying with their hands on their side. And this is contrary to the sunnah. This is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. There's no way that we can be pleased and content with people opposing the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ openly without any shame. And we accept it, and we are content with it, and we're alright with it. There are many things that we find the people doing today that's contrary to the sunnah, and it is as though it's not really that important. Rather, we must call people to the sunnah, we must exalt and extol the sunnah, and we must warn people against opposing it. In order to realize the meaning of La ilaha of Muhammad Rasulullah, the Shahada of Muhammad Rasulullah, we must exalt the Sunnah. And we must explain the Quran, the noble Quran. In those places where the Quran, its meaning might not be obvious or clear to the people, we explain it by the Sunnah. So the Sunnah is explanation, is tafsir of the Quran. And it is clarification of the Quran. It clarifies the Quran. It elucidates the Quran. And it also points to, the Sunnah points to, the meanings that are contained in the Quran and expresses them. Yani the Sunnah expresses things in the Quran that might be general, expresses it with further clarity and detail. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah of the Quran, 44th Ayah. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have sent down to you the dhikr, meaning the Quran, yani to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order for you to make clear to the people that which has been sent down to them, and that perhaps they will reflect upon it. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, the Quran was revealed to him in order for him to explain and make clear what was sent down to the people. Yani what has been revealed in the Quran. So the Sunnah explains, clarifies, elucidates the Quran. The Shaykh says, هذا الأساس العظيم يجب أن يكون منه المنطلق للدعاة المخلصين المصلحين في الأرض الذين يريدون يتولوا إصلاح المجتمع والأخذ بيده إلى شاطئ السلامة والسفينة النجاة. يعني that this great foundation, immediately he is referring back to the establishment of the Sunnah, but of course along with it the establishment of Tawheed. This great foundation, it is obligatory that it be the starting point. This is where the da'wah, the du'at who are sincere, the people, the da'is who are sincere and giving da'wah, and those who are trying to reform and rectify the society, this is the starting point. And it has to start from this principle, that is Tawheed, establishment of Tawheed and establishment of the Sunnah. Yani those who want to take responsibility for rectifying the society and to lead the people to the shores of safety and to the safina, the ship of salvation. Yani whoever wants to do this, then we must concentrate upon, or we must focus this reform or this rectification effort upon this great factor or this great element, and that is al-ikhlas lillahi fil ibadah wal iman bi rasulihi alayhi salatu wassalam wa ta'zim amrihi wa nahyihi bittiba'i shari'atihi wal hadr mimma yukhalifuha. Yani meaning that whoever wants to reform the society and bring the people to safety and security and to salvation, then we must focus upon, yani we must focus our effort of reformation upon this great element or this great factor, and that is making the worship sincerely for Allah alone. and believing in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and exalting, having the utmost respect for what he has commanded and what he has prohibited, and this is done by following his Sharia and warning against that which opposes it. Yani, how do we exalt the command of Allah and the command of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited? It is by following the Sharia and warning people against everything that opposes it, whatever it may be, whoever it may come from. Then after that, the Shaykh says, after this, we must look to the other elements of reformation, yani those which follow this great foundation, yani those, the other matters which come after the establishment of Tawheed and the Sunnah. And we must call people to the fulfillment of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. That is the prayers and the zakat, obligatory charity, and fasting and hajj, and other than that. Yani after the establishment of Tawheed and the establishment of the Sunnah, then we must call, a great effort must be made to call people to fulfilling the obligatory duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us, including the obligation of salat and zakat and sawm and hajj, and other than that. And then we must make an effort to prohibit people from the things that Allah has and he made haram, including shirk and whatever is less than that, the rest of the other types of sinful behavior and evil. And we must strive to reform the people. Strive to reform the people. How? By enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and calling to Allah and reconciling those who have differences and disputes among them. And other than that, yani, the Shaykh is saying here what? That we must call people to the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us. And we must forbid people from the things that Allah has made haram, especially as shirk, and whatever is less than that, from sinful behavior and evil and corruption. And then we must strive to reform the people by enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. This is one of the great elements of reformation, of rectification of the society, that is enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, with its principles and conditions and guidelines, not just however you feel like doing it, but with the guidelines that came in the Sharia. Enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong has conditions, and it has guidelines that must be followed. And also along with this, the Shaykh mentioned of the great elements of reformation is yani rectifying the differences between the people, the disputes between the people, yani reconciling those differences and bringing the people back together. So the da'i who is trying to reform the society, the reformer, he must make every effort, and he must strive in all of his efforts for the establishment of what Allah has commanded in the earth. Yani the establishment of the affair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in front of us, establishing this in the earth. And also, yani removing the things that Allah has prohibited, yani meaning complying with Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions and stopping at the limits that Allah has set and warning the people from the prohibited innovations in deen. And this is also a very important part of reformation, that is warning the people against innovation, that those things which have been invented and they have been attributed to Islam and they have nothing to do with Islam. They have no basis in the Quran or in the Sunnah, or that which was understood by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this way, this is what we expect from the Muslih al-Muwaffaq, yani the reformer who Allah has given success to, that he will take these elements of reformation one by one, each one of them, yani establishing Tawheed, warning against shirk, establishing the sunnah, warning against bid'ah, calling the people to the obligatory duties, warning them against that which Allah has prohibited, One by one, he must take these elements of reformation, but giving the most attention to what al-asas al-mateen, the strong foundation, which is the realization, the achievement of the shahada of la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ilman wa amalan, yani realizing, establishing the meaning of la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah in knowledge and in action, yani knowing its meaning and then acting upon it. Many of the people don't really know the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I remember Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he gave a lecture one time. It was an amazing lecture. And I think I have written it out many years ago. And in that lecture, I did write it out, matter of fact, and I still have those handwritten notes. I never wrote out the translation. But in that lecture, he said that most of the Muslims don't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Most of the Muslims don't understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then he went on to explain. And he gave the whole lecture about this particular point. So this is something that the realization of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is by first knowing what it means. And then that's not sufficient. But rather then we must act upon it. We must act upon it. Ilman wa amalan. And that is by teaching it to the people and then acting upon it ourselves, teaching it to the people and acting upon it yourself, establishing the tawheed of Allah and making the worship for Him exclusively, and surrendering and complying with His Sharia, following behind the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepting His Sunnah, exalting the Sunnah, just as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiyallahu anhum ajma'in exalted the Sunnah. And traveling upon their way, yani the way of the companions, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. And that which is necessitated, yani that which the sunnah and the way of the sahaba necessitates, along with the book of Allah, just as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in, traveled the same path that they traveled upon. For indeed, the knowledge of the companions was from the book of Allah. Their knowledge was from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't have any other books. Rather, the other books came after them. As far as the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, the second generation, their way and their actions were taken directly from this great book, that is the Qur'an, by reflecting upon the Qur'an and reading the Qur'an biqasdin salihin. Yani they reflected upon the Qur'an, they read the Qur'an with a righteous intention. Yani what was the purpose of their reading the Qur'an? Is it just reading for barakah? Is it just reading to yani get some knowledge, to say you have knowledge that other people doesn't have? Rather, they had a righteous intention in reading the Quran and reflecting upon it. بِقَصْدْ الْعِلْمِ وَالْإِفَادَ وَالْعَمَلِ. Yani the intention was to seek knowledge and to benefit from that knowledge and to act upon it. To act upon it. And likewise, the same way they approached the sunnah, they studied it and they memorized it and they took from it knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. And this is critical, because we do have people today who are taking the knowledge, but where is the action? Acting up according to the sunnah, living by the sunnah. And so this was the way of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was likewise the way of the tabi'un who followed them in excellence and righteousness before the existence of the books of hadith and other than that, yani the other books of the sciences of Islam, before those books existed. So imagine yourself being with them. Yani consider, how would be your condition if you were with those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, taking from the book of your Rabb and from the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, we must take from the speech of the scholars, the Ahlul Ilm, that which will help us to understand the Book of Allah, and that which will help us to understand the Sunnah. وَكُنْ حَرِيصًا عَلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالْفِقْهِ فِي الدِّينِ حَتَّى تَسْتَطِيعْ أَنْ تُوَجِّهْ الْمُجْتَمَعْ إِلَى الْتَرِيقِ الصَّوِيِّ. So be eager and diligent in seeking knowledge and understanding of the deen, so that you will be able to direct the society to the straight way and take the society, the people by their hands to safety. And in order for you to know how to act, you must begin with yourself. تَبْدَعُ بِنَفْسِكَ. Begin with your own self. وَتَجْتَهِدْ فِي إِصْلَاحْ سِيرَتِكَ. يعني strive and struggle and make a great effort to reform your own behavior, your own actions, your own being, and compete in every khair. يعني be competitive in the righteousness and good things, so that you may be the first of the people to the salat. يعني who is the first one who arrived for the salah? You should be the first one there. You will be the first of the people in every goodness. And you will be the furthest of the people from every evil. And you will be the one who will execute that which is found in the Book of Allah. And you will execute that which is found in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in your actions and in your speech, with your friends and with your brothers and with your helpers. هكذا يكون المؤمن. This is the way that the believer will be. And this was the way of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And likewise, that was the way of their followers from the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een and the followers of the followers of the companions, and the muslihin, the reformers, wa immatul huda, and the imams of right guidance. And this was the way of the people before us, the sahaba and the tabi'un and atba' tabi'in, and the reformers from the past and the imams of right guidance. They used to study the Book of Allah, and then they used to act upon it, and they used to read it to the people and teach it to the people and guide the people to its meanings. And they used to teach the people the sunnah and encourage them to adhere to the sunnah and to understanding of the sunnah. And they used to advise them to have the utmost respect for the commands and prohibitions that came in the Quran and sunnah, and to stop at the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have set and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have set for the whole of our life in this world. And then the Shaykh says, every element of reformation requires from us ikhlas and sidq. And every factor that is a factor for reformation and rectification of the society requires us to implement it with ikhlas, with sincerity and sidq and truthfulness, and to call to the tawheed of Allah. This calling requires ikhlas, sincerity and sidq, truthfulness, and clarification of the meaning of la ilaha illallah, and that its meaning is la ma'bud bihaq illallah, that there is nothing that deserves, that has a right to be worshipped except Allah. And calling to the obligation of warning against shirk, every type of shirk. That which is fine, which may not be noticeable or visible or obvious, and that which is obvious, every type of shirk, warning against it. And warning the people from it, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned the people from it. And as the companions, radiallahu anhum, May Allah be pleased with them, warn the people against it. And whoever, yani, reflects upon the Quran, Al-Quran Al-Azim, then this meaning will become clear from pondering upon the Quran, and likewise pondering upon the Sunnah, and exalting the Sunnah, and calling to the Sunnah after believing in the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, and calling to the obligation of following him, and the reality that Allah has sent him to all of humanity, the Arabs and the non-Arabs, the jinn and the human beings, their males and their females. Yani, that this is something that we have, it's part of our da'wah, that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to the whole of humanity, rather to all of creation. So it is incumbent upon all the people of the earth to follow him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, Naam, I think 7th Surah, 158th Ayah. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, O people, all of the people, يا أيها الناس, indeed I am the Messenger of Allah to you all, jami'an. I am the Messenger of Allah. He who is, yani, to him belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except him. He is the one who gives life and causes death. Therefore, believe in Allah and in his messenger, the unlettered prophet who believes in Allah and in his words. وَاتَّبِعُوهُ, and follow him. The whole of humanity is required to follow him, that perhaps he will be guided. And before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah, before that, 157th ayat, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those who believe in him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who honor him, and who support him, and who follow the light which was sent down with him, these are those who will be successful. So whoever follows him and exalts his command and his prohibition, then this person will be successful. And whoever opposes that which he has been sent with and follows their desires and follows shaitan, then he will be a loser and he will be destroyed. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So the elements of reformation of the society are many. And it depends on what you are calling to and what you are prohibiting from. Danny, which ones you use for different occasions. So you must strive to choose the element of reformation, Danny, which will fulfill or which will achieve the task that is in front of you. Yani, the legislated Sharia element or factor, which you know its origin, and you know where it is taken from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, the element that you have knowledge of, that you know it came from the Quran and from the Sunnah, you must choose that element or that factor, and then you must call people to the deen of Allah by utilizing these elements. And you must call people to the obligatory duties that Allah has placed upon us, and to abandoning the prohibited things that Allah has prohibited us from. And you must do this by following the way that was traveled upon by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the elements that might be used, and the societies likewise, may differ. Yani, there are different elements, factors that can be used, and there are also different societies. So the society which is at war with the deen, and it doesn't have a leader that will help you for in the reformation and in guiding the people, then you must act in that kind of society the way the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, acted in Mecca. That is, you call people to Allah with that which is good. بالأسلوب الحسن, يعني with يعني manners or methods that are attractive, that are good, that are beautiful, and with words that are يعني gentle, until that which you said will reach the hearts of the people, so that it will affect them. And in this way, you will attract their hearts to obedience to Allah and to singling out Allah for worship alone. And by using the proper speech and methods that are attractive to the people, gentleness and kindness and beautiful manners, so that the hearts of the people will be attracted to obedience to Allah and the establishment of Tawheed. And you must also cooperate with your brothers and whoever is traveling upon the same path in the dawah of the people that you are upon. And you must cooperate with your brothers in guiding the people with gentle ways in that society which you are able to have access to. And in those societies which you might be able to reach the people in, until you are able to establish iman in their hearts, and until yani the evidences of iman, the clear evidences of iman, are spread amongst the people. As far as the Islamic society, if you are in the Islamic society where there is a Muslim leader who will help you in this reformation, then you should be much more active in enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. Meaning that in the non-Muslim society, maybe your activity in enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is limited because you don't have support of the rulers and the leaders. But in the Islamic society, you should be much more active in enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, and being in contact with those who are responsible, yani for the society, when there are those who are yani stubborn and obstinate in opposing Islam. Then you contact the officials in the society, the governors and the rulers and the people who have authority, especially when there are people in the society who you fear due to their stubbornness. You fear that it will be a cause of danger to the rest of the society. And in all of this, you will be traveling upon a straight way using rifq and hikmah and sabr, yani gentleness and wisdom and patience. And this is as Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Surah Al-Asr, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَسَّوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَسَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That by the time, indeed, all of mankind are in loss, all the people will be losers, except those who believe and do righteous deeds, and enjoin upon one another the truth, and enjoin upon one another their patience. So these are the four elements of success in this world: believing and doing good deeds, which is for your own benefit, and enjoining the truth, and enjoining patience, which is for the benefit of the others. So it is of necessity that you be patient, and that you enjoin the truth upon one another, and that you call to it, until you are successful in achieving your task. And likewise, those who are responsible, yani the powerful people in the society, who you fear evil from them upon the dawah, then you should advise them in a good manner. And you should try to direct them to that which is right. And you should call them, invite them, by writing to them as well as speaking to them directly. And this includes the influential people in the ummah, those people who have power and authority and influence, and the leaders and those who are under them. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 159th ayat. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ يعني that it was by the mercy from Allah that you were gentle with them. It was by Allah's mercy that you were gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ But if you have been harsh, and you have been hard-hearted, they would have ran, they would have run from away from you. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it was by Allah's mercy that you were gentle with them. Because even you, the Messenger of Allah, the best of humanity, with the best character and manners, that if you had been harsh with them and hard-hearted, they would have ran from you. So what about us? And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa and Harun alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace be upon both of them, when he sent them to Fir'aun, in Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 44th Ayat, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى So he said to, he commanded Musa and Harun, both of them, to speak to Fir'aun with a gentle word, a gentle, easy speech, that perhaps he will take heed, he will accept the admonishment, or he will fear Allah. Gentleness, gentleness in the da'wah. So what is obligatory upon the reformers and the callers to Allah is that they travel this path and that they resolve the problems of the society by using hikmah and beautiful speech. And that they address every person with that which is suitable for that person. And he speak to the people with that which can reach them. Every person is different. So that you will achieve your goal. And you will reach your objective. And this is the end, close to the end of what the Shaykh said here. So it is incumbent upon the da'i, the one who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has hope of reforming the society, to pay careful attention to two other matters, two other elements of reformation. Of rectification, two other elements besides those two which were mentioned previously, yani the main two, at-tawheed and the sunnah. The first of the other, these next two, he said, at-tanasuh wa tawasi bil-haq, yani advising one another and enjoining one another with the truth, yani with your brothers and your friends and with the influential people in the society. And with the leaders in the society. And the second of these other matters is عَامِلْ الصَّبْر يعني the element of patience with that which perhaps may befall you of harm from the influential people or other than them. يعني when you are making da'wah, that perhaps some harm may come to you. And this is in acting upon that which is pointed to in the previously mentioned surah, Surah Al-Asr. And that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ And enjoining the truth and enjoining upon one another patience with what may befall you due to your calling to the truth. And this is in accordance with that which this surah points to, and it is also in following the way of the noble messengers alayhi salatu was salam, yani the messengers of the past. And this is as Allah azza wa jalla said to his prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the end of Surah Al-Ahqaf, and this is the ayah that is revealed in Mecca, yani a Makkiya surah in the early part of Islam, from Surah 46 ayah 35. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the early period of his mission, فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُولِ وَلَا تَسْتَعَجِلْ لَهُمْ So be patient, just as the أُولُو الْعَزْمِ were patient, yani those from amongst the messengers who had firm determination. Be patient as they were patient and do not be hasty. To the end of the ayat. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran. And this is a Madani ayah. And this came in the later period of time. Allah said to the Prophet, He revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرة وأن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور. You would definitely be tested and tried in your wealth and in yourselves, and you would definitely hear from those who were given the book before you and those who committed shirk. You will hear many harmful things. So if you are patient and you observe taqwa of Allah, then this or that is from the affairs that require firm determination. And in the face of what may come to you of harm from them, especially the harmful speech, you must be patient and you must observe taqwa, because these are from the affairs that require firm determination. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said concerning this, yani when He prohibited the taking of the mushrikeen as consultants, as trusted consultants, He prohibited us from taking the mushrikeen as trusted consultants. And He said, وَأَن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. That if you are patient and you observe taqwa, they will not, their traps or their tricks or their, yani, whatever they are trying to do, it will not harm you at all. Indeed, Allah surrounds, encompasses all that they are doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the end of Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 127th Ayat, and this is also from the Madani, yani the later Medinan period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Be patient, yani you are commanded to be patient, and you will not be patient except with help from Allah. You will not be able to be patient unless Allah helps you. And this is why whatever we try to do of good, we must ask help from Allah. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, be patient, but you will not be able to be patient except by Allah, by help from Allah, support and victory, success from Allah. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُوْ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. And do not grieve over them, and do not feel yani any tightness. Don't be yani concerned over what they are plotting and planning. Don't worry about it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who observe taqwa, and Allah is with the people of ihsan, who worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped, and are kind to the people. Yani, don't worry, don't grieve over them, and don't worry about what they are plotting and planning. Indeed, Allah is with the people of taqwa and the people of ihsan. That's a promise from Allah. Don't worry about what they are plotting and planning. They will never be able to do anything if Allah doesn't allow them. And the ayats of this meaning are many. And the Shaykh closes by saying, whoever travels the path of the messengers, alayhi salam, and the callers, and the reformers, will be successful in his da'wah. And whoever travels the path of the messengers, and the true callers, and the true reformers, they will be successful in their da'wah. And they will be successful in the end, with the praiseworthy end. And they will have victory over their enemies. So whoever studies the news about the reformers and their way, yani the akhbar, yani the whatever happened in the past of the reformers and their way, then he will come to know this. And he will realize this. Yani that the end, the good end, the praiseworthy end, and victory over the enemies of Islam will come to those who follow the way of the messengers. So the Shaykh ends by dua, as he began with dua. So I ask Allah, by His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics, to reform and rectify the condition of the Muslims, and to bless them with understanding of the deen, and to grant success to their leaders in doing every kind of good, and also that he correct their advisors, the advisors to the Muslim leaders, and that he protect the Muslims jami'an fi kulli makan, all the Muslims in every place, not in one country, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims, all of them, in every place, from the fitan, the trials that lead astray, and from obeying their desires and obeying shaitan. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرْ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَ مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the right to direct our affair and the ability to answer our dua. And the salat and salam is on our Prophet Muhammad and his family and his companions, all of them. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. And I know, I realize that we went a little over time, but we wanted to finish today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or any correction, naam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. No. My question is, did the Prophet ever do that? Did he ever do what? No, of course, this communal or group dhikr is innovation, not from the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ sat with the people in groups, and a different type of dhikr. Now, reading Quran, yani studying the deen, teaching people, this is dhikr. Yani people sit in a group and learn Islam, read something from the Quran, read something from the Sunnah. Somebody explains something from the Quran or from the Sunnah, teaching the people, this is dhikr. As far as everybody sitting in a circle and somebody is telling them, say, Subhanallah, 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 this is not from the Sunnah. And nobody can bring us any example of that from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not in an authentic hadith or in a weak hadith. There's no proof for this whatsoever. These people have invented this, and they have been deceived by shaitan. They have been deceived by shaitan into believing that this is something good, even though they don't have any hadith to support what they are doing. And this is the ignorance that has been spread in the Muslim community, in the Muslim communities around the world, that people are worshipping Allah in ways that have no foundation in the Sunnah.
Where do they get this from?
They get it from shaitan. That's clear. There's no doubt about it. It's from shaitan. Allah is from shaitan. Where else is it from? It's from shaitan. Naam. So it is incumbent upon us to call to Tawheed and to call to establishment of the Sunnah and to warn against innovation. To warn people against innovation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, every innovation is misguidance. Kullu bid'at dalala. Every innovation is misguidance. Every one of them. There's no such thing as good innovation. The Prophet ﷺ never said that there's good innovation. How can innovation be good if it's something that the people made up after Allah perfected His deen? It doesn't need anything new to be added to it, or anything to be taken from it, or any change to be made in it. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I've completed, perfected your deen for you. That means there's no way to add anything to it. Whoever adds something to this deen, it is innovation, and every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. So these people have invented these things, and they have invented so much until they have made a new deen. Some people who call themselves Muslims, wallahi, wallahi, the way they're worshipping Allah is a different deen. It's not the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, hold on 1 second. Now.
I want to ask a question that perhaps everyone here could benefit from. I wanted to know, especially for the youth who attend college, college, how can they work as a muslih, a rectifier of the MSA, where you have a lot of youth who are influenced by not du'at al-suq or college or whatever?
No. And the young people who are college students, how can they work with the MSA? And perhaps most of these Muslim student associations, most of them are probably directed and controlled by people who are not calling to the Sunnah. How can they work with them? Well, of course, yani what the Shaykh has mentioned here in terms of reforming the society is applicable to every segment of the society, whether they are students or whether they are doctors or whether they are plumbers, or in any field that a person may be, a person who works in the school system, a teacher in elementary school, junior high school, wherever it may be. The elements of reformation are the same. And that is that first and foremost, the person has to call to in a gentle manner. Of course, depending on the people that they're calling to, they have to address people with that which is befitting for those people, that is suitable for them, that will work with them. A person has to think carefully how to address these people. But our main concern should be to establish Tawheed. That's what we should concentrate on. That we get these people to understand the importance of Tawheed and to try to get them to make this their concentration. Instead of calling people to the great political system of Islam or the great economic system of Islam or the rights of women in Islam or whatever it may be. Rather get them to call the people to Tawheed and to call the people to the Sunnah, to learn the Sunnah, to get these people to see the importance of Sunnah, to learn it themselves and to teach it to people. This has to be our concentration. And then after that, of course, calling the people to the other pillars of Islam, which are the foundations of Islam. Calling the people to Salat, calling the people to Zakat, Siyam, Hajj, and so on. But it has to start with Tawheed. And then, of course, some people, they concentrate on Salat, but they didn't establish Tawheed first. That's the problem. That we have to concentrate on Tawheed. Along with this, as the Sheikh mentioned here, he passed by it, but yani it's of the utmost importance that whoever wants to be successful in this work, they have to start with themselves first. We must start with ourselves first. A person has to work on themself to reform themselves and to correct and rectify themselves, to improve themselves, to increase their knowledge and understanding of the Quran and Sunnah, to implement it in their lives so that when they invite people to it, they are an example of what they are calling to. That people will see in them that this person is practicing that which they are calling to. So this is where it starts. It starts with the concentration on Tawheed. It starts with practicing it within ourselves. It starts with learning that we have to ourselves have proper knowledge, good knowledge, strong knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. And that what we are calling to, we have to know its foundations, where it is in the Quran and Sunnah. So that when we call people to something, we can give them a proof, clear proof from the Quran and from the Sunnah. We can't just tell people, you're supposed to do this and this is good and this is better. But we don't know what's the proof for it. We know that it's right, but we don't know the proof. You have to know the proof. You have to know its source. You have to know where it is taken from the Quran and Sunnah. So when you call people to something, you can bring them back, refer them back to the Quran and Sunnah, and to the Sahaba, and to the understanding of the early generations of the Muslims, and draw up, and to help you in doing this, as the Shaykh said, go to the explanations of the scholars of Islam, the people of Sunnah, how they have explained the Quran, how they have explained the Sunnah. And then it will be clear in our own minds, so we'll know how to explain it to the people. But we have to implement it in our lives first. And of the important elements of reformation in dealing with these people is dealing with them with gentleness. Not saying these people are deviants, these people are ignorant, these people are this, that, and the other, and think that while you're talking to people like this, that they're going to listen to you. Rather, you have to deal with these people gently and with wisdom. You have to address them in a way that will affect them, that will open their heart to receive what you're calling them to. So you have to be easy with these people. You have to be gentle. You have to be kind. You know? And then when you reach their heart, inshallah, they will accept the da'wah that you're calling to. And that's what, that's really what the Shaykh said. Here, I'm only repeating what he said. Now,
a follow-up. Would it be a correct understanding that when you're calling the youth, that you start with talking Sunnah and not necessarily mention anything about their speakers, and to leave it until they have foundation. Then, when they have the foundation, then mention the deviance of their speakers. Or should you just at the same time?
Well, it depends. The situation, it may differ. As the Sheikh said, there's different societies and different types of people and different groups of people. But in general, my own experience, And alhamdulillah, you know, we have a good life experience in dealing with people of deviation. And we found that, for example, this is my own personal experience. The people who are the followers of Warith Deen Muhammad, we invited these people. We came from those people. And we invited these people to the Sunnah. But we didn't concentrate on attacking their leader. Because we found that whenever anybody attacked their leader, they never listened to anything you said after that. They never listened to anything you said after that. So this is a great life lesson that we learned. That if you want to direct these people with the MSA, don't attack their leaders and their teachers and their imams and their sheikhs from the start. Rather, you don't have to attack them at all, even in the end. But in the beginning, definitely, you don't even mention them. Rather, you just focus on the message of Tawheed and Sunnah and try to endear this to the hearts of the people so that they love the Quran and Sunnah. And then we found that once we started calling people to the Quran and Sunnah, and they started turning to the Quran and reading the Quran, they saw the contradiction between what's in the Quran and Sunnah and what the people who are standing in front of them are saying. They saw it themselves. And many people left the American Muslim Mission, followers of Warith Deen Muhammad, by this type of method. By giving the people the Quran and Sunnah, evidences and proofs and clarification on the issues that they are in error in. And let them see for themselves that what the Quran is saying, what Allah is saying in the Quran, is completely contradictory to what their imam, their leader, their sheikh is telling them. And they begin to see for themselves. And then they will ask. And then you will tell them, yes, this is what Allah said in the Quran. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So if somebody is saying something different, it's clear that they are in error. And you don't have to attack their leaders. But you have to clarify the issues. You have to speak to the issues and make clear that these points of deviation are contradictory to what's clearly mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah and what has been said by the early generations of the Muslims, from amongst Sahaba and Tabi'een and Atba'at Tabi'een, that these people are saying something completely different. And they will see the contradiction themselves. They will see themselves. You don't have to attack their leaders. And most of the time, when you attack their leaders, it will make it difficult for them, even if they recognize that what you're saying is the truth, but it will be difficult for them to listen to it, to accept it, to act upon it. It will be difficult for them. So don't make difficulty on them. Rather, make it easy on them. Clarify the issue and let a person work it out themselves. Because the truth is clear. The truth is clear. It's clearly distinct from error. So whoever gets the truth is presented to them, then the error will become clear to them. Naam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Naam.
And the Jama'ah Salaf Sunnah Muhammadiyya, they quote the Tawheed and Sunnah.
Naam.
And sometimes
the young brothers who are very enthusiastic.
Yeah, they even get, one time it was in the masjid, he got in the minbar. SubhanAllah, it was a khutbah, Jama'ah Salaf. He was in the masjid and he started speaking about a specific person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some poems that have some shirk in them. And they started speaking to him about him so harsh that in the Jummah khutbah, the people started to get up and started cursing him and left the message.
No. So this is not the method to use, brother. You can't just attack people and think that their followers and the people who love them will just stand by and listen to that. We'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.